All right, a pleasure having you back with us. This is going to be a fun series with the St. Louis Cardinals. They are a traditional team, and the Giants and Cardinals have had a real rivalry over the years. Joining us is Katie Wu, and we love having Katie on. Of course, she writes for The Athletic. She's from the Bay Area here. And, Katie, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing well. We really are. 53-30 makes a good season. And you know, look, you've been here before. You know what Giants baseball is when it goes well, and it's going well right now. But what's up with the team you cover, the St. Louis Cardinals? Just give me a little bit of a state of the Cardinals, then we'll talk more specifically.
You know, the Cardinals have been through the ringer. They have just been brutalized by injuries, specifically with their starting rotation. They lost their ace, Jack Flaherty. They lost Miles Michaelis. But ironically enough, it's the offense that lately has been really kind of preventing them from having any success on the field. They just finished a stretch of 13 straight games where they played opponents that had records under 500. That was supposed to be a bounce back time for them. They ended up going 5-8, and they just lost 3 out of 4 against Colorado at Coors Field, where they scored a total of 15 runs in 4 games. So it's kind of a bizarre time for this offense. You know, yesterday Matt Carpenter joined us after the game, and he was visibly frustrated because this is a team that has the names, right? I mean, you have two guys that Giants fans are very familiar with, and Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. You have Yadier Molina. You have Paul DeJong, you have Harrison Bader. They have the names in the lineup make sense, and they just have not been able to get anything going offensively lately. So, you know, very frustrated team because they're just not performing up to their own expectations right now.
How's Paul Goldschmidt doing? Because you look at, as you point out, Goldschmidt and Arenado, Matt Carpenter sort of at the end of his career and doesn't really contribute too much. But you have two big guys there. Are people not getting on ahead of them?
Well, you know, Paul Goldschmidt has always kind of been a notoriously slow starter in the season throughout his career, and he really turned it on in June. The problem is exactly that. You know, he's batting second now because there's a couple key injuries. Tyler O'Neill is out with he just clarified he got hit by a pitch in his hand over a couple days ago and broke the fifth metacarpal in his hand there. So he's been out. They moved Paul Goldschmidt up to second. They've been kind of switching off their leadoff hitters and Dylan Carlson and Tommy Edman, and they just have been really struggling collectively as a group to get things going offensively. You'll notice that when they do score, it usually comes on two outs. They're a very good two out high pressure offense, but when you are set the table with two outs, you don't give yourself a lot of room to make any more mistakes. So, you know, this is a team that has done it before. They are very patient with their plate approach. They go up there and they know exactly what they're looking for. They don't panic, they don't flail. And their approach has been very consistent. The swings have been very consistent, but the results have not. And that is the most frustrating thing for this offense right now.
Yeah, the BABIP is not good. BABIP is right? Isn't the BABIP bad?
It's not great. They are consistently in the bottom five categories throughout the National League in offense. I believe throughout June, they had the lowest OPS in baseball. So it's very puzzling, again, when you look at this lineup and you look at all their injuries and you see, you know, if anything should be struggling, it should be the starting pitching. And really the rotation has been able to, you know, it wasn't always pretty when Jack Flaherty and Miles Michaelis first went down, but they've been able to piece things together and hold the fort down. They only averaged 3.5 runs allowed at Coors Field over 4 games. So you would expect that would lead to a lot more success than going 1-3 over the weekend.
All right, very good. Katie Wu with us. She knows what she's talking about when it comes to the Cardinals and the rights for The Athletic. Tommy Edman kind of took everybody to task and really complained about the preparation of the team. Was that divisive, and was it called for what he did?
I don't think it was divisive. You know, Tommy Edman is a very smart guy. He played baseball at Stanford, spent a lot of time in the Bay Area. I think it was more of maybe an admission of the team itself. And, you know, we haven't been preparing as we should be. We are a smart group of guys that really haven't been bearing down and looking at these opposing pitchers and how they're going to pitch us as well as we should. I didn't think it was a dividing statement by any means or meant to cause blame in the organization. I think it was more of an owning up to, hey, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're not pulling our weight. We are not being professionals in this situation. So we need to change some things. You know, they had a clubhouse meeting right before he said that, where they said, you know, we need to reevaluate what we're doing. We need to prepare better. And the thing about offense, as you know, Marty, is the more that you struggle to produce, the harder it becomes to produce, the easier it is to press. And this is, I think, a group that is going out there and everyone is trying to be the hero. Everyone's trying to be the single-handed bat that turns it around because they all have the capability to. But that's been very detrimental to their approach, which really strategizes being patient in the count, waiting for a specific pitch, and hitting that pitch hard. That's, you know, it's a very simple approach, and they just haven't been able to find the right way to make it consistent.
All right. Well, we'll see for 3 days here. This is a ballpark that played a little bit better now offensively, so we'll see what the Cardinals can do here.
True.
But they've been, on the road, 18-26 on the road, and of their last, 10 road losses, 2 runs or less on the road. So you bring up some good points about them. Let's see what happens. Now, the All-Star game. Is Wainwright going to go? Molina? What's up with those two?
I was surprised to see Molina not get the backup job. I mean, Buster Posey is very deserving as the starter. What a year he's having. Just what a career, actually. But I was a little bit taken aback that Molina was not the reserve selection. You know, as we find out, pitchers drop out, whoever starts before the All-Star break, and we see kind of the reserves accept or not. I wouldn't be surprised if one or the other goes. I would be really surprised if Adam Wainwright does not go as a fill-in option. He has just been Adam Wainwright. He's been Adam Wainwright all season for this team. They have really needed a veteran presence to kind of lock down and set the tone. But a team that has been struggling for so long like the Cardinals have, I mean, they're 10 games back in a division that is not very good. Adam Wainwright seems to command a win every single time. And, you know, this is great timing, Marty, because I was talking to a bunch of players today about Adam Wainwright specifically, and they said, you know, we're by no means surprised with what he's doing. It's a little bit impressive, but it's also expected just because of who the pitcher he's been in his career. And it's remarkable for him to come back at 39 years old and being able to be a vintage Adam Wainwright and be the one of the primary reasons why this team is somewhat still in contention right now.
Mm. What's it going to take to get him back in contention? I mean, they've only got a few weeks here before the trade deadline. Do they add on at the trade deadline, or is this a team that says, okay, it's not going to happen, and Adam Wainwright, it's been terrific, but why don't you pitch for the Dodgers?
Oh, I don't think Adam Wainwright's going anywhere. I think he's going to be in St. Louis for the rest of his career, however long that may be. But here's the thing about the Cardinals and what I've been learning as I talk to these players. They are historically a second-half team. You look at what they accomplished in 2019. They went on a remarkable run to make the playoffs in the second half of the season. 2020 was a sprint, as we know, but this team was absolutely decimated by COVID. They had to play an absurd amount of doubleheaders, I believe 11 doubleheaders in a very small amount of days. And they were able to make it to the playoffs. So they know how to win. They know how to crunch. I fully expect them to be buyers at the deadline. I'm not quite sure if they'll buy starting pitching because they do believe that both Jack Flaherty and Miles Michaelis will return sometime in August. And, you know, starting pitching is in such high demand at this trade season because all the pitchers are hurt and everyone needs starting pitching, right? I can't imagine them going out and overspending for a starting pitcher out of desperation if they believe they're going to get their top two starters back. I do think they need some bench help. Matt Carpenter is really the only left-handed bench bat they have right now, and they don't really have a lot of viable right-handed options, too. They could really use a fourth outfielder with some power. So if they're going to improve, I think that's the direction they'll go in.
Boy, interesting whether they'll – because, you know, you think of the Cardinals, and one of the first games I ever saw in my life, St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, during my whole lifetime, they've always been a force in the National League. And right now, and you bring up a good point. Yeah, you bring up a good point, and there's a lot of baseball left. And they're a little closer to the Pirates than they are the Brewers, but who knows? That this is why we love the game of baseball. What about Kim today? He's been hurt. Now he's back. He was a lot better last year than this year, 32 years old. Doesn't go very deep in the game. What should we expect from him? What are the pitfalls? And when he's got it, what does it look like?
Kim is a tremendously fast worker on the mound, but you are right. He doesn't last too long in games. You can usually expect him to go 5 innings. 6 innings is a great start for him. He's a pitch maker. He pitches for soft contact, but he can have a tendency to walk a few more batters than preferred. If KK is on and he's moving fast, that's a great sign. But when it starts to get laborious, that's when the outings tend to get a little bit shorter. So I think, you know, for KK, he's been pretty consistent recently over his last couple of starts. So the bullpen, when Carlos Martinez yesterday left the game with an injury in the fourth inning, so the bullpen had to put in some work, I think the Cardinals could really use five or six strong innings from Kim to kind of reset their bullpen there.
I like KK. I like that. That's the nickname?
Yes, that is his nickname.
Oh, very good. Okay. I'm not on that familiar basis with him as KK, but that's good. I'm glad you got to know him a little bit. Right-handers know him pretty well, 285 with six homers, but boy, he eats up lefties, 9 for 60, 150.
Yeah, no, he's a rare breed there, and he's really fascinating to watch, not just because of how quickly he pitches, which I'm sure we can all appreciate, but just because he's kind of just a workhouse out there, and it's nice to see him. He had such a decorated career in the KBO, start to get some attention here in MLB.
Well, Raf tells me that you are very popular on Twitter and you get into some very good discussions. You want to share something with us?
You know, the Cardinals fan base, they are very opinionated, but they are very educated. So it is nice to go back and forth on what some of these fans are picking up and their observations. My biggest thing, though, is I tease them because they apparently think that I make the lineup each day. So they like to complain to me on where players are hitting and who's playing where, as if I have any control. So it's fun to kind of tease and go back and forth, Marty. You know, I do enjoy doing that just a little bit.
You're doing a great job. Katie, always a pleasure to have you on. I thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up again.
Marty, thank you so much. It is always so great talking to you.
I love it. Okay, very good. Thanks. Katie Wu from The Athletic. All right, well, this is our pregame and our long weekend, three-day weekend here, and we're ready for baseball with the Cardinals. Don't forget, after the game, Bill has got extra innings. He's got Ozzie Smith on. I used to love the post games on weekends like this. Everyone's in the car driving home. You can get some good discussions. All right, we're going to go up to the booth. Kerry's got the talk back, and we've got baseball coming up right here, KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.